my favorite Friday evening show to watch was the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation. I know, if you ask me, it's real. If you ask my brother, it's fake. I'm going with real. Anyways, I particularly liked the tag team event because if one of the wrestlers began to struggle, they would tap in their teammate, and their teammate would come in and take over for them. Well, this morning, as this is my last opportunity to share with you, I've asked Frosty to be my teammate, as he has been for every Sunday. I've asked him to bring a box of Kleenex, and if I need someone to step in for me, he has graciously agreed to do so. Friends, would you please join me in a centering prayer? God, our God, we cry out. Your beloved needs you now. Draw us near, calm our fears, our anxieties, and our worries, and speak your word that all people may hear. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Seminary is designed to help students prepare for full-time ministry. In seminary, students learn about the ins and outs of the church, the do's and don'ts, and the joys and the trials that come with parish ministry. We also learn things about theology and church history, worship and order, church polity, all of those good things. Seminary teaches students a lot, but it doesn't teach them everything. And I think my time here at First Federated Church has been unique. Of course, there certainly has been some hiccups along the way, but over the last 30 months, you have all taught me so much about what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Among what I have learned from you is the true meaning of the fruit of the Spirit. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit, and the first is love. Together, we have witnessed what love looks like at the waters of baptism. In baptism, we see the depths of God's love for us, that even before we know God, God claims us as his own. And as a church, we have made vows to those children, to raise them in ways of righteousness, to love them and care for them, and to teach them to love others as Christ loves us. That is what true love is all about. But true love doesn't end there. True love continues on, and together we have witnessed the meaning of love at funerals. At those funerals, you have demonstrated love by being present with those who are suffering loss. You have lamented with them, you have remembered with them, and you have celebrated with them a witness to the resurrection. In all of that, you have shown the church, the community, and me what the meaning of love is. And the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. In my mind, one of the easiest places to find joy is at Logos, the Wednesday evening program for children. It begins at 5:30, and if you've ever been there, you'll see about 30 young children show up, and they're full of energy, and they are smiling. They're ready for the evening. And together we share a meal, we play together, we pray together, and we read God's word. They're just happy to be in community with one another. And you can see the joy that that brings them as they smile, as they run around and play tag, and as they patiently wait for their parents to come pick them up. There's also another place in which I've been witness to joy, and that's on the youth group mission trips. Things often begin a little bit shaky as we're crammed into a van for up to 13 hours. And yeah, we sleep on concrete floors and we pull bushes from the ground in the heat of the afternoon. And we wash soot from houses that have caught fire. But in the midst of all of that, something special happens. There's a bond that is forged that makes a friendship. That friendship is filled with joy. And often, that friendship continues on into college and well after. That's joy. That's a way that you all have shown me the meaning of joy. And the third fruit of the Spirit is peace. Every Sunday evening at 7:30 in the evening, the youth group gathers upstairs in the youth group room, and in the center of that room is a table. And in the middle of the table is a candle, and that candle is lit. And then each youth group member takes their individual candle and lights their candle off of that center candle. And then we sing to one another, "Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." During those moments, there's a special kind of peace that settles into the room. One that offers confidence and assurance. Confidence that there are people who care deeply about one another. And the assurance that no matter how difficult life gets, no matter how painful it is, you always have someone to turn to. That peace gives each student confidence that there are other people in their lives there to go on the journey, the wild ride of life with them. And that peace is a peace unlike any other I have ever experienced. The fourth is patience. And I'm not sure if you remember the first time I preached at First Federated Church. The better part of me hopes that you don't. But if you do, you'll remember that Sunday morning I also preached from right here from this lectern. So I thought it fitting that I end my time here with you now. But in that sermon, I did everything my homiletics professor told me not to do. I talked a mile a minute. I looked at my manuscript the entire time. I never made eye contact. I moved around too much or too little. That sermon wasn't an easy one for me because I was just getting to know all of you. This sermon isn't an easy one for me because I'm having to say goodbye. But in all of that, you tolerated me and my newness. You didn't get upset with me or frustrated with me. Thank you for showing me the meaning of patience as I've learned and grown as a person and as a minister. And the fifth is kindness. And I'm not sure if everybody can see, but there's often a time in the worship service when Frosty will turn and look at me, and then he'll whisper something to me. Well, I want to let you in on the secret of what he's sharing with me. I've taken a multitude of personality tests, and all of them have come back, "Zach, you're a perfectionist." So I like order. There's a plan. We have that order in the bulletin. And when things don't go according to plan, I get a little tense. Maybe I'm eager and I step up too early to get into the prayer for illumination and I don't allow the space for Russell and the choir to sing. Or maybe I inadvertently read something wrong and I get thrown. Well, when I sit back down, Frosty can see just how rattled I've become. So he leans over and he tells me, "Zach, it'll be all right. The church will be standing Monday morning, and God's word is still proclaimed." Frosty, thank you for showing me kindness. And the sixth is goodness. If you haven't yet had the opportunity to serve as a deacon or an elder, I pray that one day you will have that opportunity. And if you have served or are serving as deacon or someone on the executive board, thank you for your service. The people who serve in those ways are the people who exhibit goodness. They are people who are positive about the church's future. They work diligently and for the betterment of the church. They are people who trust God and lean into God's promises. When I think of goodness, I think of those people. Over the past year, you have all allowed me to undertake a little experiment called Theology on Tap. And there has been a core group of people who have shown up to all four rounds of Theology on Tap. And there we talk about ethical issues, about the intersection of faith and society. Those people have been there time and time again. But the faithfulness isn't simply that they're showing up. The faithfulness is there to explore what it means to be a Christian, to dialogue about the deep things of life, to draw together, and to think critically about what it means when we say we're disciples of Jesus Christ. Those are the people, you are the people, that exemplify faithfulness. And the eighth is gentleness. The mission committee has the privilege of seeking God's will concerning the various ministries that the church supports. They talk about what's going on in the community of Peoria and in the world at large. They're sensitive to the needs of organizations and to individuals. In one way, I kind of see them like my grandmother. My grandmother William is the gentlest person I know. She feels things deeply, and she's always placing other people's needs before her own. The mission committee does the very same thing. They feel things deeply. They think about the least, the last, and the lost. They seek people first. And that is gentleness. And finally, the ninth is self-control. And I thought long and hard about this one. How does the church practice self-control? And I think the church practices self-control through the means of civility. The church is a place where people come together and talk about our faith, we talk about our lives, we talk about all sorts of things. And in doing so, we are polite to one another, no matter what our differences might be. So together, we engage in those difficult conversations. And when it's all over, we still esteem one another. When we pass by one another on a walk, we wave and say hello. We don't let our differences separate us. Although we might not see eye to eye on every matter, we recognize that everyone bears the image of God. So instead of highlighting our disagreements, we unite over what we share in common. We are children of God. So in short, self-control is treating other people as you would have them treat you. What seminary didn't teach me is just how amazing ministry is. That is something that I have learned from all of you. 30 months ago, you invited me into your life, and it's been my honor to journey with you, to cry with you, to celebrate with you, and to grow with you. Thank you for giving me that space to learn and to grow as a person and as a pastor. I'm thankful that you, First Federated Church, recognized God's call in my life and extended to me my first call. You have taught me what the meaning of the fruit of the Spirit is, all 9 of them. That, my friends, has been a true blessing in my life. Thank you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I ask of you now, friends, would you please lift your hearts with me in prayer as we pray for our church, our community, and all of creation. Lord God, we have come together this morning as a community of believers. Lord, and as we have gathered here this morning, we have done so with hearts that are full of celebration and joy for the things that are yet to come. Lord, we have also gathered here with hearts that are suffering. Lord, you know the travesty that has happened in Pittsburgh for the people who have been lost. for the families who have been left. Lord, we pray for your work in this world to be such that there is reconciliation, and for those who are suffering, that they would find peace in the midst of all of this, that you would surround them with a community that will journey with them, that will care for them, no matter how long it might take. Lord, as well, we pray for the people of this church. Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every one of them, that we would be faithful companions to each other, that we would stop to recognize that we are children of God, and we would set aside any differences that we might have in the knowledge that in heaven we're all going to be there, and so we need to learn to get along. Lord, I pray that you would put your hand upon the leadership of this church, that they would discern your will for what is the future. Lord, we pray for the community of Peoria, for all the people you have placed in leadership roles. Lord, we pray that you would give to them wisdom. Lord, we pray for everyone who is suffering in the community of Peoria, for those who are worried about heat. May we help those who need to be warmed. For those who are concerned about their next meal, may we share with them food. Lord, and finally, we pray for all of creation. Lord, help us to be mindful of the things that we do and the ways that they impact your creation, that we would preserve the waterways and the mountains, that they would be a lasting testament to just how creative you are. Lord, and finally, we pray that as the church moves into the future, that you would bless them with a minister to carry out the call you have placed on this congregation, to be with them, to love them, and to stand firm with them. Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.